Here's an urgent alert from the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for another edition of Sports Byline. Certainly hope you had a good weekend. And for the second straight week in the National Football League, we had a tie. Minnesota, you know, Minnesota and the Green Bay Packers. And can you imagine that? Two weekends in a row, a tie. Anyway, we'll talk about it. Don't forget inside report that we have inside the game with Brian Billick. That'll be coming along on Tuesday. But I guess the most surprising news coming out of the weekend, Buffalo cornerback Vontae Davis created a significant stir by leaving the team at halftime on Sunday during a 31-20 loss to the Chargers, and he retired. Now, Buffalo head coach Sean McDermott said Davis pulled himself out of the game. Teammates said Davis told them he was retiring, which didn't sit well with them. I'll give him a little bit more respect than he showed us today as far as quitting on us in the middle of the game, said defensive end Lorenzo Alexander. Davis issued a lengthy statement announcing he is retiring after 10 seasons. This isn't how I pictured retiring from the NFL, but today on the field really hit me and hit me hard. I shouldn't be out there anymore. Davis said he meant no disrespect to Buffalo players and coaches. I hold myself to a standard. Mentally, I always expect myself to play at a high level, but physically, I know today that isn't possible, and I had an honest moment with myself. While I was on the field, I just didn't feel right, and I told the coaches I'm not feeling like myself. I respect that. Timing, not good. No doubt about that. But if you are so certain that it's not right and you don't want to go on any further, why put yourself in danger? Why put other people in danger by not playing in a way that might be safe for everybody? Something to think about. We'll talk with Brian Billick about that tomorrow night on Inside the Game. Marvin Miller, I'm going to share the interview with you because I got an email on it. Retired executive director of Baseball's Player Association, passed away in 2012. He was the very first executive director of Baseball's Player Association. He was elected back in 1966. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.
Being a new parent means every high and low you can imagine. But Evos can make it all easier with a baby monitor you can trust. Go to myevos.com. That's myevoz.com to see how Evos can be the eyes and ears of your nursery. Evos works with your smartphone to provide a live audio and HD video connection to your baby anytime and anywhere. On a date, at work, away on business, even serving your country overseas, Evos helps you never miss a moment. Whether your baby is with a sitter, your partner, a grandparent, or a friend, you'll be right there too. And with unique features like smart alerts that know the difference between a barking dog and your baby crying, extensive sleep tracking data, and state-of-the-art security features for your peace of mind, Evos is the smart baby monitor for connected parents. And enter the code SPORTS at checkout for $20 off. That's myevoz.com. myevoz.com.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Marvin Miller joins us on Sports Byline USA. He was the very first executive director of baseball's Players Association. We thought it might be interesting to get his perspective on what's happening. Marvin, let's start off with a little bit of a history lesson for the fans. Can you talk a little bit about the history of the players and the owners over the years when you were the director, and also where it is now?
Well, that's a tall order. Well, you know, in the very beginning, the players wanted to form an organization that was not under the domination of the owners, and it finally occurred in mid-1966. At that point in time, you know, in order to put a proper backdrop to this, Major League Baseball had been in existence almost 100 years. There never had been a legitimate union. There had been a company union dominated by the owners, but there never had been a legitimate union. The baseball industry acted as if the action of the players was, how shall I describe this, scandalous, something that they shouldn't have done. They were betraying the heritage of the game. It was ridiculous. Nevertheless, they kind of comported themselves in a reasonable fashion, the owners, and the beginnings of the union in 1966, unlike the way historians and the media treat this now, I read recently from someone who does a really good job at the history of this, but who has gone hog wild. He asked himself a question in a recent article, newspaper article: have the union and the owners ever reached an agreement on a new contract without a stoppage? And his answer to himself was no. And that's so contrary to what the facts are. In 1966, when the players first established the union as an independent entity, the pension plan was expiring. It had never been a legitimate contract. It was a plan that was established, which allowed the owners, according to them, to unilaterally end it anytime they wanted and so on. But to make a long story short, the first negotiations of a pension contract in the whole history of sports occurred in the winter of 66-67 without any kind of a stoppage. The following year, in 1968, the first basic agreement, the first collective bargaining agreement in all of sports, covering all the terms and conditions of employment except pensions and insurance, was negotiated without a stoppage. In 1970, when the first benefit agreement expired, a new one was negotiated, including the first grievance procedure in sports. There was no stoppage. The year before that, in '69, when the pension agreement had expired, and a second pension agreement was negotiated, it was done successfully without a stoppage. And I could go on and on like this, including the major changes in baseball. The first time salary arbitration was negotiated. The first time that owners did not have an absolute right to determine contracts unilaterally, determine salaries unilaterally. Salary arbitration was established in an agreement without a stoppage.
Let me just interrupt you here because I want people to grasp the major issues. A lot of people, I'm going to ask you some questions that I get asked all the time sure. by the fans, Marvin. And if you can give me kind of a concise answer on these, I think it would help them understand. First of all, they want to know why there can't be the same system in place for baseball that exists for the NFL and the NBA.
Yeah. Well, the first is that there never has been a legitimate union in basketball or football or hockey. And there has been in baseball. What you have, company unions in every case. In basketball, for example, if David Stern says there ought to be a salary cap, that we ought to have an entire industry doing what would be illegal if there were no union, if an entire industry put a cap and take salaries out of competition, the only thing the basketball union says is, what kind of cap? Whatever he wants, he gets. Same thing happens with Roselle all through the years when he was the commissioner in football, and with Tagliabue now. These are company unions. They do not really represent the players. There are all kinds of problems that these players have, which baseball players don't. I think that salary cap and various other kinds of actions, for example, in football, there's no such thing as a contract. You have a contract, and what they say is, well, it's not a guaranteed contract. What does that mean? What it means is, you can have a contract for the next 3, 4, 5 years as a player, but in football, if they decide for whatever reason, you're hurt, you're injured, you're not playing up to your potential, they've changed their plans, whatever, you no longer have a contract, you're out.
Let me interject this question then. What is wrong, at least in the baseball experience, with a salary cap? That's the other question that I get from the fans.
Okay. Let's get into this because I think that's an important one.
And we only got 2 minutes before we have to break, so go ahead, Marvin.
Well, a union is charged under law with representing the best interest of the people who are employed and who are members of that union. A salary cap is designed to provide a lower salary than if there were no union at all. Now, let me explain that. under the antitrust laws, it is not legal for a group of competitors in any industry to get together and say, we are now going to have a rule which under which none of you can pay a salary beyond this, none of you can have a payroll beyond this, et cetera, unless there's a union which agrees with you. Which means that when you have a salary cap, it has to be in agreement with the union. And then if the union is honest, it has to say to the members it represents, I've just made a deal under which your salaries will be lower in the future than if there were no union at all. You like that for an organizing tactic?
I see that's the point that you're making. Yeah. In just, say, like a 30 or 45 seconds, what philosophically is the problem with a salary cap, just briefly and expeditiously?
Well, in this country, under law, we believe, we say, in a free enterprise system. And we don't put caps on profits. We don't put caps on prices. We don't put caps on anything. We believe, we say, that the best thing that can happen in a free enterprise industry is competition, and that includes competition in wages and competition in salaries, competition in recruiting employees, and that these are all artificial things. You know, we've got a president and a Republican Party now that believes in conservatism and doesn't believe in regulations, et cetera, et cetera. We have a president who says it would be terrible if there would be a stoppage in baseball.
Marvin, hold on a second. I've got to go to a break, so hang with me. Marvin Miller has joined us, the former executive director of the Baseball Players Association. We'll take a quick break and continue with more of you in Sports Byline.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. 800-598-0539. That's 800-598-0539.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-430-4234. 800-430-4234. That's 800-430-4234. Copays and deductibles apply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA.
Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Taking a look at the scoreboard in interleague action, Pittsburgh 7-6 over Kansas City. Thanks to Stallings, he had a game-winning RBI single to win it in the ninth inning. Frazier, two RBIs, Newman with three hits. Again, Pirates 7-6 over the Royals. Also in the National League, Mets pounded Philadelphia 9-4. Mets had 14 hits and a four-run ninth inning to put it away. Conforto with three hits, one of them a home run, and he drove in six runs. McNeil contributed three hits. Over on the American League side, it was Minnesota 6-1 over Detroit. The Twins hit two home runs. They put it away with four runs in the fourth. The win goes to Stewart, six shutout innings. The Cleveland Browns promised that they were going to get rid of Josh Gordon by Monday, and it looks like they have finally found a team interested in working out a trade for the beleaguered wide receiver. According to reports, the Patriots and the Browns have worked out a deal that will send Gordon to New England, and it's reported also that the Patriots will be sending a 2019 fifth-round pick to Cleveland in exchange for the wide receiver. Also, the Browns have announced that there's a conditional late-round pick involved in the deal as well that will potentially go to New England. So, again, they found somebody for Josh Gordon as he goes to the New England Patriots. And that's your sports update.
We love watching sports, but these days it's nearly impossible to catch all the best moments of your favorite games. Now with the new SportFlip app, you can receive real-time, customized notifications so you know when your games are back after a commercial break, period change, or rain delay. Download SportFlip from the App Store today and watch more sports.
Marvin Miller has joined us here on Sports Byline. We are talking about the situation in baseball. Marvin, before you continue with the thought about the salary cap, let me also pose to you some of the other questions that I've been asked by the listeners and the fans, because we have a worldwide listening audience. Why do the players want or need more money than they're making right now when they hear that they're making on the average of $2.38 million?
Well, see, that's one of the worst things that the media has done here. They have led fans and the public everywhere to believe that there are union and player demands when there are not. The issues that can cause a stoppage here are owner demands, as they have been for every stoppage in the last 30 years in Major League Baseball. In the last 30 years, there's never been a stoppage in Major League Baseball which did not arise over a demand by the owners to take something away from the players. The answer to the question of what is it that the players want now, the answer to that question is nothing. They want to be left alone.
And how is that defined?
It's defined on the basis that there isn't a single issue in these negotiations which could even remotely cause a stoppage, which was not raised by the owners, not the players or the players' union.
So what you're telling me is that the players do not want more money? They just want to be able to maintain the system that allows them to make the money that they're being offered when an owner offers it.
That's exactly right. And again, you know, fans and the public are not being told what every sports writer knows, and that is that the union doesn't negotiate salaries. The unions in Major League Baseball negotiates a minimum salary, which affects one or two players per club each year. There's a salary arbitration system under which, in recent years, maybe 10, 11, 12 players have their salaries determined by impartial arbitrators selected by both sides. And all the rest of the almost 1,000 Major League Baseball players' salaries are set unilaterally by the owners. The owner decides, shall I pay this, shall I not? It is a system which, if General Motors or United States Steel, with their industries organized by a union, if they ever had a system under which the company could decide what to pay, they would think they had gone to heaven and died and gone to heaven.
Marvin, you know as well as I do also that the perception is that the salaries are out of control in baseball. Now, I'm one of those that believe that somebody ought to be able to make as much money as possible, and I share your belief that if somebody wants to offer it to a ball player, they'd be a fool not to take it, and most people would do the same thing. But let me ask you the question that the fans think and feel, and they feel that salaries are out of control. How do you see the salaries in baseball?
Well, I see salaries in baseball as I see salaries in any other place. We don't have a system in this country which says that salary should be based on what its contribution to what the contribution of the employee or his work is to the society. We don't say that at all. We say in free enterprise, you make what you can. And all of these people who make these complaints now, they don't have any complaints about a rock singer who goes on a concert and makes four times what a ball player makes. They don't have any complaints about a Hollywood star. They don't have any complaints throughout the entertainment industry. They don't have any complaints about somebody who invents the hula hoop and makes hundreds of millions of dollars. They don't say, what does that contribute to society? This is the most inconsistent criticism I've ever heard. But more than that, you know, I'm old enough to remember, long before there was a union in baseball, when the salaries were miserable, when the players worked for peanuts, when they were treated like chattel because they were owned by the clubs, when there wasn't even a minimum salary in baseball, you could pay anything you wanted. There were no fans' complaints. There were no fans organizing saying, we ought to do something for these players. More than that, when Major League Baseball displayed the worst examples of discrimination, when only a white could play baseball, when a non-white was absolutely barred, there were no fans groups that protested. There were no fans groups that said, this is unfair. This whole business now of saying, I'm not sympathetic with the players because they make a lot of money. Are you sympathetic with the owners? They make far more. We are now dealing with an industry. Let me just give you some historical perspective. When the union started more than 30 years ago, the total revenue of all the major league clubs combined was less than $50 million a year. Less than $50 million. Last year, it was $3.6 billion.
Let me, I've used that figure on the air as well. Let me follow that up with the belief by a lot of fans that don't the owners have the right to make a profit? Now, part of the problem here, sure, Marvin, is what you already touched on. The media plays up the salaries of the players publicly, but they don't do the same thing with what the owners are making. So there's that inconsistency at least there. But how do you respond to the statement or the question by the fans that the owners have a right to make a profit because they're taking the chance?
Well, sure, they have a right to make a profit. Nobody said they didn't. But, you know, let me give you an example. Lately, there's been a dispute about the two partners who own the New York Mets, you know, one of the great franchises in baseball.
Doubleday and Wilpon.
All right. And their dispute really, you know, without getting into detail, gets into whether the franchise is worth $400 million or $500 million or in that neighborhood, okay? When the Mets started, which was just slightly before the union did, they were an expansion franchise, and the original buyers, it cost them $2,600,000. That's what the cost of the Mets was.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Is there a competitive imbalance between the large and the small market teams?
Oh, yes. And that's, I think it's a very important to understand that Major League Baseball has always been a monopoly industry. That's the way it was established. That's the way it's been maintained. That's the way its rules are. It would be easier to start a competition in the basic steel industry or in the automobile industry or in petroleum refining industry than it would be to get a club and say, I'm going to compete with Major League Baseball.
Is that imbalance in the competitiveness good for baseball?
Well, before you get into the question of good and bad, the fact is that there are always some markets that will be superior to others, whether it's baseball or entertainment generally or what have you. And in the case of Major League Baseball, there never was a question but that the New York market, the Los Angeles market, the Chicago market, the Boston market were going to be and always will be superior to the San Diego market, the San Francisco market, the Cincinnati market, the Tampa Bay market, and so on. Baseball was created with that kind of imbalance. And as a monopoly, you know, every franchise owner is guaranteed that it used to be done on a league basis, that no franchise would be granted in your league within 75 miles of where you operated.
Marvin, I need to interrupt you again because we have to break for the Armed Forces Network. Marvin Miller has joined us, the retired executive director of Baseball's Players Association, giving us great insights in the relationship between the owners and the players. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network and the Internet on Sports Byline.
Hey, this is Shaq. When I was playing ball, our team doctors helped me overcome pain with something called TENS therapy. And Icy Hot Smart Relief is that same kind of therapy. You just push a button and whoosh. Smart Relief sends waves of relaxing pulses that immediately start blocking pain. Back, hip, knee, or shoulder pain. Even works for hours after you turn it off. Man, this Smart Relief's so smart, they should call it Shaq Relief. Ooh, I like that one. Somebody write that down for me. Turn on Smart Relief and turn off pain. Get my lawyer on the phone. You need to patent that.
Use only as directed.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531.
800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Marvin Miller has joined us here on Sports Byline USA. Marvin, if you care to and want to continue the thought, feel free to do so.
Yeah, well, this may be the first monopoly industry. You know, a monopoly industry is one that is created to operate to eliminate competition. This may be the first monopoly industry under free enterprise in the United States which complains about the lack of competition. It was set up and created to limit and eliminate competition, and now it is complaining about the lack of competition. It experiments with all kinds of ideas like contraction. You know, this would be the first time in the history of man that you increase the competition by knocking the competition out. That's what contraction means. What if you were really sincere, and over the long run, it may be that you're going to have to come to this. If you say that the main problem is imbalance, that there are certain areas that are never going to be able to compete successfully with other areas, then what you have to do is to open the competition. You have to say, okay, we're going to expand, and we're going to do what other people do in a free market. You allow expansion in the best markets that will enable people to make money.
So in other words, where the population is, where the money is that can support the sport, you go ahead and add more franchises, and if the littler markets can't compete in that environment, then so be it. You're still maintaining baseball as a sport and a business.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. When you take a look at arbitration, that's been another sticking point. It's not one that I'm comfortable with, mainly because it's no such thing as arbitration. You don't arbitrate anything. You pick one side or the other. Has that worked successfully, when I mean for both sides? And is that something that should be done or at least looked at in a different way and maybe changed to some degree, Marvin?
Well, you mean salary arbitration?
Right.
Well, you know, salary arbitration was negotiated, and as I pointed out, negotiated without any kind of stoppage, long before free agency. That is, at the time it was negotiated, players were property. And not only did a club owner own a player for the rest of his natural life, but that ownership enabled him to say to a player, under this monopoly, you will play for whatever I say you will play for. Otherwise, you may leave. And that's your only other right. You can leave and never play Major League Baseball anywhere in the United States, Canada, Mexico, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, Dominican Republic, or Japan. But you're a free man. Now, in that atmosphere, salary arbitration was negotiated to at least give players some rights to say, I ought to be paid my market value, even though you own me. A few years later, there was the arbitration decision, which resulted in free agency. Now, sure, the owners have complained, you know, bitterly that now they have this two-pronged thing which dents the kind of ownership and control that owners used to enjoy for 100 years. Well, I don't think it's unfair. I think that it covers a limited number of players. As I pointed out, in recent years, not more than 11 or 12 players throughout all the major leagues have their salaries determined by impartial arbitrators who are professionals, who are appointed by agreement of the owners and the union. Both have to agree to them. They both pay them. They divide the cost. And the criteria that the arbitrator must use and the various criteria that he may not use are decided by the owners and the players and the players' union. These criteria are listed in the contract, in the collective bargaining agreement. And what it does, of course, is provide a means of settlement by an impartial person who is expert in what he does. And it ended all the holdouts that used to be the hallmark of every spring training before arbitration. You know, players would hold out. They're not going to go to spring training. They're not going to, because they were not treated fairly and so on. It was a useless gesture, but it was used to disrupt spring training every year. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. And many more players than the 11 or 12 whose salaries are determined by arbitrators, many more apply for arbitration. And once they apply, then the clubs and the players sit down and work out their deals, work out a contract, both sign it, and what has been left in recent years, as I say, is about 11 or 12 players throughout the major leagues who finally go to arbitration and have their salary settled by the arbitrator.
I know you have been outspoken about Bud Selig having a conflict of interest as the commissioner. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Having said that, then, is there any way that this man can be effective as far as finding an answer between the two sides?
No, I think that if there is going to be an agreement, it's going to be in spite of Bud Selig. That's the problem.
Why?
Well, he has complete control. The clubs who are going to pay for this, you know, the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Cleveland Indians, the ones who are going to be paying out tens and tens of millions of dollars every year to the other clubs based on Selig's proposals, Selig's demands, and they are all sitting there quietly because under Selig's gag rule, it costs you $1 million and more to open your mouth. And that's the situation we're in. I don't know if you realize that the owners are under threat of $1 million fine, not just for speaking out on any issues affecting the negotiations, even though it's affecting their whole profit level, they are subject to a fine if they speak to each other. Owners are forbidden to speak to each other on these issues.
So we're dealing with a dictatorship here.
Yes, you are.
Let me ask you about the fans, too. A lot of people feel that the fans should have some say in how all of this is resolved, but I think you touched on it a little bit earlier when you said, well, where were they when there were the inequities in baseball? Yeah. So does that preclude them from being involved with something that may deal with baseball that involves the fans from this point on, just because they weren't involved with it in the past?
No, not at all. What I've cited is what was. I think that today, you know, the big pocketbook issues that affect fans, the major issue, for example, is public financing of stadiums, you know, by a city, by a county, by a state, handing out, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in stadiums to multi-millionaire and billionaire owners out of the tax money that the fan pays. And I think the fan has a great interest and a great involvement, which he doesn't understand. You don't hear anything about fan protests when their tax money is given away. You don't hear any protest when there should be. When they live in cities where their schools are crumbling, where their streets are and sewers and bridges maintenance is lacking, where their health needs are great, where the homeless are not cared for, you don't hear baseball fans saying you can't, under these circumstances, spend hundreds of millions of my money, taxpayer money, to build these stadiums. But you don't hear anything about that from France. I wish you would. In addition, I think fans have a very legitimate interest in a lot of other things, including the quality of the teams in their cities. I think they have an obvious interest. They are paying people. They pay for their entertainment, and they have a great deal, or should have a great deal, to say about the quality of the teams that they watch. What I feel they don't have any right to, and they've been pandered to and led to believe they do, I don't think they have any right to talk about the terms and conditions of employment of the players. I think they have every right to say to a club, if you want my allegiance, I want a good club. I want you to make decent trades. I want you to have decent conditions here, etc. I want you to have good management. They have nothing to say about the employment conditions of a player. And I liken this to, as I mentioned in an interview recently, I think that fans of any product, whether it's a service or a goods, I think fans clearly have a right to have their voices heard. I think an automobile fan, I think somebody who likes a particular car, like a General Motors product, like a Chevrolet, I think he ought to be listened to about how that car looks, how that car is priced, how that car runs, how that car lasts. But he has no right to have any say in how the auto worker who builds that Chevrolet gets paid.
If there is yet another work stoppage, is this something that baseball as a business and also as a sport can overcome once it is solved and they're back on the field, Marvin?
Well, it's hard to know about the future, and I don't pretend to know any more than anybody else does. What I do know is that all of these predictions of the past about baseball is doomed because, there was this stoppage, et cetera, that's all been bunk and baloney. And if the best record of what's going to happen in the future is the record of the past, I would say they'll overcome it. But I don't know.
Also, what is the likelihood in your mind and in your gut, because I know you're close to it still, about where the two sides are as far as we know what the hang-ups are, but where are they? You got about 30 seconds. Where are they as far as being able to move past this?
Well, I'm the wrong one to ask that. I really am.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, if these were union issues, if these were player issues and player demands, I could make an educated guess about how important they were to the players and to the players' union. I could make an educated guess about the likelihood of this being compromised. But these are owner demands.
Marvin, I've got to run to a break, but I appreciate it. You made the points, and thank you for giving us so much time and explaining it to the fans out there, because, as you know, it's a very emotional issue, all of this. Thank you, Marvin, and continued good health to you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Marvin Miller, the very first executive director of baseball's Player Association. He led them in a 13-day strike in 72, as well as a 50-day walkout in 81. There it is, right out there on the table for you. We'll talk about it next hour when we open up the lines as we continue with more of you on Sports Byline.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days, and anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another check of the numbers in the American League. Minnesota 6, Detroit 1. The Twins hit 2 home runs. They put this one away with 4 runs in the 4th inning with the win going to Stewart as he throws 6 shutout innings. Toronto blank Baltimore 5-0, so that means the O's have lost 107 games this season. Win going to Ryan Borucki. He had 8 innings of 3-hit ball. And Tampa Bay also shut out Texas 3-zip. Glasnow and 3 relievers win the 2-hit shutout. Chow had the big hit, a 2-run home run. Over on the National League side, it was the Mets pounding Philadelphia 9-4. Mets had 14 hits, a 4-run ninth put it away. Conforto, what a game he had. 3 hits, one of them a home run, and he drove in 6 runs. McNeil added 3 hits. In interleague action, Pittsburgh edged Kansas City 7-6 thanks to Stallings. He had an RBI single in the ninth to win it. Frazier, 2 RBIs. Newman had 3 hits in that one. Also, Miami over Washington, 8-5 the final there. The Nats were up 4-0 early. Castro homer, drives in 3 runs. Sierra, 2 RBIs. And another shutout, Milwaukee 8-0 over Cincinnati. But the big news here, Chris Yelich became the 5th player in Major League Baseball history to hit for the cycle 2 times in a season. Brewers scored 3 in the 5th, 4 in the 6th. And that's your sports update.
We love watching sports, but these days it's nearly impossible to catch all the best moments of your favorite games. Now with the new SportFlip app, you can receive real-time, customized notifications so you know when your games are back after a commercial break, period change, or rain delay. Download SportFlip from the App Store today and watch more sports.
We shared with you an interview that I did a number of years ago with Marvin Miller. Marvin Miller, of course, he was the very first executive director of baseball's Player Association, elected in 1966. He passed away at the age of 95 in 2012. He led a 13-day strike in 72, a 50-day strike in 1981. But listen to this. When Miller took office in 1966, the average salary in baseball was $19,000. The minimum was $6,000. And when he left in 1982, the average salary was $241,000 and the minimum was $33,000. I'm Ron Barr. Hang around. We got more coming your way on Sports Byline.
Hey, everybody. This is Brian Alvarez. Join me and my buddy Mike Sempervivi for Wrestling Observer Live every weekday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA radio network.